who are visiting with us this morning, we want you to know from our hearts to yours that we are humbled by your presence, that you've decided to worship with us here at the South Fayette Church of Christ. We want you to know that our doors do swing on welcome hinges, and anytime that you're able to worship with us, it is our prayer that you do just that. And to the saints here, my family, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord. I want to remind you all to let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Our eyes are to be stayed on the cross, loving one another as Christ has commanded us to, having a zeal and a desire for God's word, and having a mind to work, being busy about our Father's business in his kingdom. And no matter what, through the ups and through the downs, know that I love you, and there's nothing you can do about that. With that being said, I am so happy to be wearing this red jacket this morning. I was asked, was I going to do a lesson on humility? And the answer is no, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. We are just about at the end of our 2022 series theme titled A Mind to Work. And with one lesson to go after today, I really hope that these lessons have been encouraging to you. I really hope that they have helped encourage us all in our walk with our Savior. And I hope that we all have benefited from setting our minds on working for the Lord. Growing spiritually should be the goal for each and every believer. And while we're here on earth, which is just for a little while, we have a job to do, and that job is to be working and being busy for our Lord and Savior. We are to work to get the good news out about Jesus. But this, however, takes a mind and a heart that is set on Jesus. So very quickly, as a summary of our previous lessons, I want to begin with the first one that we looked at. And that one would be a mind to work, a mind to work. Now, after having a mind to work, you have to be willing, a willing participant. And so we discussed, here I am, send me. And once we figured out that we are making ourselves available, we find out that when we all have the same mind, we are having the unity of teamwork. And when we're unified, the devil hates that. So that's when he attacks. But knowing the God that we serve, he is able to revive us again. And as we are revived, we ought to be working, but not just working, being busy. We ought to be working with a vision in mind. And with that vision in mind, we ought not just say we have a vision in mind. We ought to have great expectations attached to it. And with those great expectations, you got to have a prayer life. Most people underrate the power of prayer. And as you begin to grow in your prayer life and begin that personal relationship with God, you begin to be transformed. And in that transformation, you have to have a mind to serve. And so this morning, with having a mind to serve, that means that you're working. That means that you're moving. And so this morning, we will be looking at running to win. Running to win. I don't know if you've heard this or not, but there is a new phenomenon called the quiet quitting. It is one of those things that have exploded like a supernova across the media universe. There was a young man by the name of Zaid Khan. He is a 20-something-year-old engineer who has a 17-minute or so second video that has been introduced to millions about this term called quiet quitting. Now, I want you to know that it doesn't mean that you're outright quitting your job, but you're quitting on the idea of going above and beyond. You're still performing your duties, but you're no longer subscribing to the hustle culture. And when you don't like the rules, well, you can just simply quit. You can sit at home and get unemployment. The sad thing, though, is with this concept, we're seeing the results of this quiet quitting all across the world. I remember when me and Dee were out eating breakfast, and it was the middle of the day. It was about 9:30 a.m. or so, and we looked around and said, you know, why aren't these people at work? It was a lot. It was about like on a Tuesday morning, and it was about, I don't know, 100 people in one spot at one time. And I'm like, people don't go to work anymore. But this mindset, this concept of I can sit at home and I can get money. And we're seeing these results. And while it may be a new accepted concept right now in the culture, many think it's okay to have the bare minimal mindset. But I want to encourage you this morning by saying all of this. For us as believers, those of us who love the Lord just cannot do the bare minimum. Because doing the bare minimum will not get you to the finish line. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning or electronic devices, I would love for you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we'll be looking at verses 23 through 25. And the infallible word of God reads, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality." The word "whatsoever" is translated from the Greek phrase tie in. It means to describe the most minute or the most minuscule detail. And the reason why this is important, because it tells us that God is concerned about every action in your life, whether it be small or large. The "in" generalizes the subject to mean whatever. But when T-E-N are used together, it can be translated "whatsoever," as the King James Version records it. But it is important for us to know, right, that the inclusion of this word "whatsoever" is the picture of every little detail. It's about the even smallest, most minute, minuscule detail. The word "heartily" comes from the word "heart," meaning we should do things from the heart. That phrase that we've heard before, "put your heart into it," is what this is talking about. It means doing things with a full-on effort. We all know when something is done half-hearted, it means we're just going through the motions. And there is no real enthusiasm in going through the motions. It means simply your heart is somewhere else when you are going through the motion or you are half-hearted. It is somewhere else. Everything we do, every minuscule detail should be done wholeheartedly. And this includes running the Christian race, but not just running it to win. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, looking at verses 24 through 27, he says, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Paul is saying simply here, listen up and run that one may obtain. But don't just run to run. You know, there are many people who run for different reasons. There are people who run because it's trendy. There are people who run because they want to lose weight. There are people who run because it relaxes them. But you also have individuals who run and they run to win. In other words, don't be satisfied. Don't pat yourself on the back. Don't give yourself a data boy for just crossing the finish line. We need to run as if everything depended on you crossing that line first. See, a true mind to work is never satisfied with status quo. It is a mind that is always striving and driving towards perfection. See, Paul here is not talking about having a competitive attitude or trying to beat others. What he is simply trying to get us to understand is he's talking about putting the same effort, the same determination and drive as a champion would put into it. So I want you to think about it. See, when you train as a champion, when you train as an individual who's already won, you train with a tenacity, you train with confidence. You know that you're in this race not to be running, not to look cute, or just to say I'm in it. You're in it to finish it and do it first. I know we all, at some point in our lives, have hit a plateau, personal and spiritually. There's no question in my mind. If that's not going on today, it was happening yesterday, it happened last week, or it's currently going on in your life. And we have to be honest, because it happens sometimes, even to the best of us. Those of us who love the Lord more than anything that you can imagine have had their time or two in this world and in this life. If you have, I want you to remember this. You cannot ride the wave of half-heartedness and expect to attain the kingdom of God. I'll say that again. You cannot ride the wave of half-heartedness and attain the kingdom of God. We must constantly, saints, drive ourselves toward perfection. So, with that being said, let's look at some actions that we need to run this spiritual race and to obtain that incorruptible crown. The first thing that we need in order to do this, saints, is perseverance. We need perseverance. Perseverance means to continue despite difficulty or lack of success. I'll say that again. Perseverance means to continue despite difficulty and lack of success. Many people, when they don't see success or they don't feel like it's going the way that they interpret it, they quit, they give up. But when you have a sense of perseverance, it doesn't matter how difficult it is. It doesn't matter when it doesn't seem as if I'm succeeding or I'm not winning or I'm at the top of my game. I will continue to walk this Christian pathway. Over in James chapter 1, looking at verse 12, the Bible says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, this person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Let me tell you something. Perseverance occurs when you are faced with adversity beyond your own training that requires growth. I want you to think about that. I want that to sink in for a minute. When you talk about persevering, when you talk about going through, when you're facing adversity, you're going to face some adversity that's going to require you to grow. I've talked about it before. Anything under tension has no choice but to do two things, either grow or die. When we're under the spiritual tension from the devil and his schemes, there's growth to be had when we persevere. When we hold on to God's unchanging hand, we trust him in his promises, and we get through the adversity, no matter if it doesn't seem as if we're successful, we will persevere and we will grow as a result of it. Because perseverance also forces us to become the person in the situation that it requires us to be. So when you're in a situation that doesn't seem familiar to you, that perseverance that you put on, that you're willing to wear in the midst of adversity, it will show you, and it will be, you will become the person you need to be. I want you to understand something. Consider endurance versus perseverance. For endurance, you are moving from point A to point B through the difficulty. But by the time you get to point B, you are essentially more tired and are a more tired version of yourself than you were when you were at point A. But perseverance is different. By the time you get to point B with perseverance, you're not the same person you started out to be when you get to point A. You must change to overcome adversity. As we navigate saints through this Christian journey, we should be growing. Amen? When we begin this race, right, I need you to understand where we begin the race should not be where we end the race. No one who has obeyed the gospel should still be at the beginning. You should not be coming at the starting gate. We are where we began because of our faith. So we don't begin the race and park at the starting line. That's not how this works. You begin the race to finish the race, but not only finish the race, but to win the race. When we have a mind to work, you are constantly changing. You are constantly evolving. You are growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it helps you keep the strength to move on, because adversity is not a question of if it's coming. It's when it will come. Paul said, when you're going through adversity, you got to forget the things that lie behind and focus on the prize that lies ahead. He says, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. You are striving for what lies ahead. He says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Saints, we are running a race to win it. You know, there are a lot of people who are just in this just to be doing it, to say they're in it, but you can't win a race if you keep looking back. You can't be first if you keep looking back. Some of us get stuck in brokenness of our lives and we can't move forward. We're holding on to the past and we can't move forward. I want to give you a piece of advice, and I think it will help us all when we're talking about being broken, when we're talking about hurts of the past. One thing as believers that I think, or I know we should stop doing, is we should stop expecting broken people to get your hurt and understand it. What we need to do is understand that the very people that you want to understand your brokenness is broken just like you. So what do I do? Well, here's what you need to do. You need to remember that Jesus has already paid for your brokenness. You need to understand that somebody has already suffered more than you ever could have. Somebody has already been betrayed above whatever you feel like betrayal looks like. Somebody has been persecuted more than you ever could be persecuted. Somebody has been spat upon. Somebody has been treated like in the utmost and in the most disrespectful manner that you can ever imagine. And this person is Jesus the Christ. See, when we hold on to failures, you know what we're simply saying? We're simply saying that Jesus, what you did on Calvary wasn't sufficient enough. We have to stop putting our sins back on the cross. We have to remember that our sins are not bigger than God's grace. Whatever we are subject to doing during this race, remember, we got to protect our mindset by staying in the Word and staying connected to God and each other. You do whatever you need to keep your eternal song alive. Whatever you need to do to keep yourself in this race and keep on fighting. The next ingredient, though, that we need in order to win this race when running is endurance. It is endurance. Endurance is experiencing or surviving pain or hardship. So what endurance is, it is the power to endure unpleasant and or difficult processes or situations without giving way. So endurance occurs when faced with difficult situations that test our training and resolve. So if it is basically the vigilant cousin to perseverance, and certainly needed in our race towards the prize, which is the end goal, heaven. And it can't be learned in times of comfort, so you can get that out of your mind. It can't be put on and forged in times of comfortability. It's only forged in times of adversity. See, the Apostle Paul got in the race, and he became the hardest working man to ever be about God's business, but experienced some hardships along the way. We all have heard this before, but if not, I want to remind you of what endurance looks like. Paul said, three times I was beaten in 2 Corinthians 11:25-30, and with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. At night and day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, danger in the city, dangers in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and in hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, as if there should be more, there is daily pressure of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak, who is made to fall, and I am not indignant. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. Let me tell you something. Paul endured some stuff that none of us are likely to go through. None of us are likely to go through all of these things that this individual went through, and then some, and yet he pressed forward. Paul wasn't boasting about getting a pat on the back. No, he was saying it is a tough task to be in this race, the race for the crown, the race for the crown of eternity, the race in which we get to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I'm telling you, saints, it's not easy, but you got to keep on going. It was like Paul was saying, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and you don't have a reason to complain, because what we have is a mindset of reaching the finish line by any means necessary. Martin Luther King said it like this: if you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But by any means, keep on moving. We have to have the same mindset when it comes to obeying the gospel and staying faithful as we run this Christian race. Yes, you may get some cramps. Yes, you might sprain an ankle. Yes, you might get dehydrated, spiritually speaking, but you have to keep on hydrating yourself with the Word of God. You have to keep on putting yourself around trainers and individuals to make sure that you're in the most healthy condition that you can possibly be in as you run the race. You got to make sure that you are consuming a healthy diet of the Word of God in order for your body to be in the shape that it needs to be in so you can finish the race. In Romans chapter 5 and verses 4 through 5, endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Why? Because God's love has been poured where? Into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. When we put Christ on in baptism, when we say that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Hebrews 6, 11 through 13, Paul tells us, don't be slothful. Don't be lazy. Don't be sluggish. If you're going to run the race, you need to run it to win. You need to be running with the end goal in mind that I'm going to finish first. There's so many people that get together and get in a race and they just running for, they don't even know why they're running. You can ask people why you believe what you believe and they can't tell you. They can't tell you why they love the Lord. They can't tell you why they're in the church. They can't tell you why they need to pray. They can't tell you why it's important to read the Bible. They can't decipher between what God has said is acceptable or what God has said that is unacceptable. We have to keep driving ourselves right to the end. He says, you all have done well today. But that same willingness, that same love that we have this morning, right? That same I'm on fire for God this morning because it's Sunday. We need to have tomorrow. We need to have the next day and the next week and the next month and the next year. It don't stop. It won't stop. We should continue on loving the Lord and giving him all that we have. See, if you start to run out of energy, then you ought to ask God for more, because it's only through that diligence that you can have a full assurance of hope. Paul eliminated anything that would infer with doing God's will in his life. He encourages us to lay aside every weight and sin, which does so easily beset us off the path. And he knows it. So when you do that and you push those things aside and you focus more intently on the task at hand, you can run a race like you've never ran before. I think Paul's advice in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and looking at verses 6 through 11, there he says, don't let the world's distractions pull you off course. Don't let the hardships of your life, don't let these things in this world distract you. And most of the time, the stuff that we desire the most, we don't need. You know why? Because it's all dust, Paul says. And Paul advocates taking radical action. Flee those things that separate you, that put that wedge between you and your heavenly Father. Those things that are getting your attention off the end goal. You crossing that line. You can't focus on those things. You need to flee, run away, escape them, and follow and pursue the things of God. This takes a dynamic, robust, purposeful driving work. You have to have a mindset beyond. You know, if you're going to be, let me tell you something. I can guarantee that this is the type of tenacity that we ought to have. This is the way we ought to run and the focus we ought to have when we're talking about our spirituality and running for God. If a grizzly bear busts through that door right now, the way y'all going to get up and run out of this place is the same type of mindset you need to have when you're serving the Lord. I don't need you to be slothful, getting slow, because there won't be one person in here, even those of you who are elderly. If a grizzly bear came through that door, I bet you will move like you've never moved before. Amen. That's the same mindset we have to have when serving God. If I told you that if I said that you could get paid for loving the Lord and serving the Lord, it'll be a line all the way out here. If I told you, I said, I give $1.2 billion to anybody who is willing to serve the Lord and be a disciple for him, it'll be a line all the way down the street. That same mindset and tenacity that we have to serve the Lord, because most people feel like there's a reward that's to be had. I'm telling you that there is. And the reward that you will receive for running the race and running it with tenacity and with focus is a reward that's worth the price of admission. God gives us so many opportunities. If you're trying to catch the guy that's ahead of you in the race, knowing that if you win, you will receive a $1 million prize, you probably will pursue him with 100% effort. But if you thought that chasing the guy that's in front of you, if he wins, he gets a t-shirt and a bottle of water, you probably will run half the speed and half the determination and focus. So my question is, if you're running for the Lord and you know what awaits you, why aren't you running to win? I believe this, that God gives us many new starts. I want you to think about this. God gives us many new starts. You can start when you're 15, and then you can start over again when you're 17, and you can start again when you're 21, and you can start again when you're 25. You can start again when you're 30, 40, 50, or 60, as God wills, and you have breath in your body. He allows you to stay. There are many starts to this race. But I want you to know this. The new starting line isn't at the back of the beginning. It's not at the back. If you stop, you get to start again. You stop, you get to start again. You know, you get that new start because Christ already paid the penalty for that sin. There are many starts, but there is only one finish line. It's only one finish line. You either finish in heaven or you finish in hell. But you can start over as many times as God's grace will allow you. So my question for you this morning, are you willing to start over if you're falling out of the race? If you have given up, if you've waved a white flag, are you willing to start all over and this time finish? And if you're running the race and you haven't given up and you feel like quitting, you can ask for the prayers of the church for whatever it is that you're going through. Make those things that are happening in your life known. Expose the darkness into the light and let God change your life. And if you hadn't even begun to get in the race, you can do so by putting Christ on in baptism. Putting him first in your life. Getting yourself on the track. And begin running the race to get to heaven. There's another part that we need to remember, and that's joy. You got to have joy. In James chapter 2, looking at verses 1 through 8, it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who generously gives it to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the winds. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded. He's a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways." You have an opportunity and the power to lay hold to eternal life, saints. And this is not easy to do, but we have to do it again and again and again every single day. In fact, that's the challenge. The challenge isn't that you ran well yesterday or you ran well all last week. The challenge is running well and with confidence and with perseverance and endurance every single day that we run this race. We ought to run it with that same mindset: perseverance, endurance, and joy. You know, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, looking at verses 7 through 8, it's hard doing this thing. It's not easy. But he said in 2 Timothy, he says, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course, and I have kept the faith, and henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day." So you don't see the finish line. What does it look like to you? Where are you in the race? Can you see the finish line? Do you know that the finish line exists? Do you know that you can win the race? Once again, the finish line is at the judgment seat of Christ. And we all would have to cross that line someday. Don't be the Christian who finishes by the skin of his or her teeth. Don't be the Christian that just, you know, rather, you know, run the race and have empty-handedness and regrets and a life full of missed opportunities. Don't be that Christian runner. I want you to ask yourself, how much more time do I have to continue to run this race before it's over? And if it was to be over tomorrow, would I receive a crown of eternal life? If you can't place first, second, or third, we need to be reevaluating our spiritual lives. Just for a second, I want you to take a look at something. And I want you to really picture yourself. I want you to really think about in a spiritual mindset of running a Christian race and what that looks like. When you have adversity, when you're faced with trials, when things don't go according to plan, will you endure? Will you persevere? And even though it may be tough, will you still have the joy that God requires of us to have? I want us to think about just for a moment. This individual, his name was Derek Redmond. He was an athlete. And he was a man who didn't quit. He was in serious pain at the beginning of the race. And he didn't quit. As a matter of fact, can you imagine running a race, knowing what was at stake? Your eternal salvation. And in the midst of you trying to get to your eternal salvation, you catch a spiritual cramp. You tear a spiritual hamstring. And you have the right to quit or keep on moving. The question is, will you keep on moving? But here's the beautiful thing. Derek's father came to his aid. The same way Christ, our Father, when we cannot run the way we used to, he is there to help us cross the finish line. If you're here this morning and you need your Father to help you cross the finish line the same way he helped me, then you need to do that today. Because you may not ever get another opportunity to run this race again. So if you're here this morning, I want you to know that the ways of heaven and earth are opposed to each other. And we cannot achieve a heavenly mindset with persisting in our earthly actions. So if you're here this morning and you desire change and you want to run for God like no one has ever ran before, you can do so now as together we stand and together we sing.